One of the delights of cycling is its apparent ease and simplicity. So simple, in fact, that if we don't pay enough attention, the mechanics of it can seem boring. But when there is a snarl in the connection of body and machine, then we are forced to recognise the endlessly complex series of components and events that drive us and the bicycle forward. No one thinks about the bottom bracket, the mysterious tube that joins the pedals together, until it's broke, when it feels like we're pedalling through grouchy sand. No one thinks about the cushioning balloon of air that is the pneumatic tyre until we have a puncture. And no one thinks about their knees until the knees call a go slow and set up a picket line to the pedals. It is brokenness that makes us realise the integrity of the whole. The poet Keats called the velocipede, rather disparagingly, the nothing of the day. But in a way, his nothing, his dismissiveness, reveals cycling's hidden mystery, its ability to transport without vast transport, its ghost of a skeleton, its airy grace, its see-through spaces, its magic. And it is only when the curtain is pulled back on the illusion, when the system fails, that we think about the workings, the grimy nuts and bolts, the worn brake pads, the fibrous cartilage in our own knees. And each of these parts, individually and cantankerously, has its own personality and meaning. To be fallible, to err, is human, and I am increasingly drawn to broken parts and broken human beings more than podium winners and podium bicycles. Just as there should be delight in the magical simplicity of the cycling, the joyous nothingness, there should also be delight in its grimy constituents, the backstage pulleys that make the stage show happen. Living within a governed society, we are bound by a social contract. We agree to abide by the rules of a society so that all may benefit. Those at the top of the pile with the best mental health, the best heritage, the most money, the shiniest bikes have to give something of themselves, such that those at the bottom of the pile with the fractured minds, the poor healthcare, the skip bike can still get by, can aspire to a happier place. I have a shiny bike and a skip bike, but I am always drawn, I believe, towards the skip bike, because it always seems to me more human, more honest in its creaky, cranking parts, its rusting surfaces. "Why dost thou speak with the tongue of the bicycle, the nothing?" asks Keats. Because the bicycle is a microcosm, an extension of the human self. When we care for the broken bicycle, we care a little bit for the brokenness of ourselves, the awkwardness of the ill-fitting cog in the 9-to-5 machine. When we care for the broken rider, we care a little bit for the broken community, the rusting dynamics of the ever-shifting metropolis that have to rub along together. So yes, I am hopelessly romantic to keep comparing the bicycle to the rider, the parts to the human part. But I honestly believe that the spoked wheel is a living, breathing creation that is much a part of the breathing mechanics of the world as those that ride it. And I've got a whole bunch of other crazies to back me up.